Well, hey, gang. Hey, what's that sound? It's not the sound of cicadas. Hey, what? What's going on? What do you mean they're on vacation? Come on. Tell me what really happened to the cicadas here. See what I did? Yeah, that's good. Okay. Well, welcome to What Really Happened to the Cicadas Here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's, I don't know, the funny program of free speech. You go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to Mike. He will take your fundage with gladness. And you can do that by calling 1-800-724-2719. Do that. Okay. Let's see. So, Mr. T is growling at the neighbors and keeping us out of trouble. Mini-Me is in the neighbor's yard taking care of her business. I get complaints about that sometimes. Okay, so this is What Really Happened to the Cicadas Here. Why don't you hear this? What really happened to the cicadas? Are they on vacation? No, I'm just indoors. That's all. Okay, and this is a live show. You will be able to call in, and that number is, call, like, if you're going to, you know, you can use the 1-800 number if you're going to phone in some money. Otherwise, let's use the regular number. Most of you have unlimited minutes, so that number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Right on. So what really happened to the cicadas here is a news show. It's when I'm going to do a news show. Oh, what the hell's that? That wasn't supposed to happen. Everything's getting all weird. All right. And it's a news show. So let's get started with the news. Now, you can go to nationalbugle.com. That's I sometimes put stuff up there, and you can look at the headlines. I'm trying to get a little more active with that. Let me just explain that site to you. Okay, we've got 8 categories. So if you, the first category, and you know, it's weird. If you pull it up on your cell phone, it might be weird, but you can hit the at the top banner, there's the mobile site, and you can hit that, and it might, and it'll fix the weirdness. At least it'll fix the weirdness with the website. With the country, no such luck. Okay. War and foreign policy, the top headline there, meet the Americans who put together the Kiev coup. And spoiler alert, it was Victoria Nuland. All right, immigration and demographics, that's another category. And the thing is, you can hit those words, and it'll just take you to that category. And what I have up here, what's on the big board, as Mark Dankoff called it, is the 10 top stories. But if you hit the category, then you'll just get like a whole bunch of stuff in that category going back for years. Is that the best way to organize a website? Not necessarily. Immigration and demographics, that's another category. St. Louis agrees to pay protesters around $43,000 each after accusations of misconduct. Next category. These are just examples. Elections and politics. 11 times Vice President Biden was interrupted during Trump's electoral vote certification, from CNN. So on January 6th, 2017 anti-Trump demonstrators were allowed in Congress, and Democratic congressmen tried to overturn the election due to Russian meddling and voter suppression. That's from CNN. The next one, and this is weird, coronavirus and other news. And you'll see only one headline here, which says 600,000 Americans per year are dying from COVID shots, says top insurance analyst. Okay. Why is there only one headline there? Probably because somebody nefarious got through the security in my system and deleted a bunch of stuff. That's happened before. And so I'm going to have to go back and restore it. I'll figure out how to do that. Then you go down some. The next four categories, you have to scroll down. Photos and memes, and you'll find photos of stop balloon hate. And then there's one meme I produced all by myself. And on the top, it's got some sort of gay Black Lives Matter demonstration with very unattractive-looking participants. And then below, it's got a friendly-looking Chinaman, and he's holding a bunch of balloons. And it says, I stand with the chinks and their damn balloons. It's kind of dated. All right. Finance and economics. This was a good one, actually. And these, most of these are pretty recent. But most of the headlines up here aren't that recent. But here's one. 13 months after divesting from BlackRock, West Virginia Treasury invests top $10 billion. Beat Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and more. It's the headline itself. I didn't write that headline. That headline was written by 103.7 FM. But the article itself is interesting. States are divesting from BlackRock. A lot of people didn't know that. And then I've got a section on podcasts. And then that's it. That's it, actually. So that's the big board, and I intend to get more active with it, but so that's that. What else in the world is going on? Let me just make sure I'm not getting callers yet. And not yet. Okay, good. None yet, which is fine. Okay, there's actually some stuff I did want to talk about. Let's go to the boomer who got liquidated by the FBI. All right, so do I have a good article handy dandy for that? There was. I did have one that was up, but I don't have it up anymore. Anyway, you all know about this by now, that there was a 75-year-old man apparently so heavy that he couldn't walk without a cane, but he had been boomer posting, and he got shot down by the FBI. Now, the issue isn't whether or not it's, you know, he was within his rights. You know, you could say, well, there's an issue of you know, how Trump supporters are handled differently, right? I mean, because one of those headlines I read, somebody who was arrested for rioting, not somebody, but a bunch of people, dozens of people who were arrested for rioting several years ago have been given $43,000 each in a settlement, right? And they were rioting. This guy was boomer posting. And of course, you can, some of the people have pointed out things like Kathy Griffith, who is allegedly a comedian, and she held up she posted a photograph of herself holding up a bloodied, decapitated head of Donald Trump, right? And of course, Madonna's made those types of statements. Lots of people made violent statements against Donald Trump, and that's totally fine. Well, we know. Okay, here's the thing. We know there's a massive double standard. We know that. And I'm not defending the FBI. I'm not defending the FBI or anything. But this, we know what country we live in, and it's not the country that we were born in. And you want to use some discretion, and Fed posting is not a good idea. It's not a good idea. If you're willing, I mean, here's the thing. This should underscore the fact that if you Fed post, you could literally wind up with the FBI on your door, shooting your dogs, and potentially shooting you. This is what happened to this guy. It really can happen. So, this is what I say. Don't Fed post. If you want to Fed post, if you feel the urge to Fed post, don't Fed post. Jew post. Okay? Jew post. You can just point out, if you're willing to risk your life, so far they're actually not shooting down people. Like, I've talked to people who say, oh, aren't you worried you're going to get killed? No, I'm not worried I'm going to get killed. I am worried that, my business might get targeted. If you do post, you might lose your job. But what I'm saying is, if you Fed post, you could lose your life. Oh, and very easily get your dogs killed. I mean, that's a real thing. You could get your dogs killed. If you do post, depending on your employment situation, yeah, you could get in trouble at work. And so keep that in mind. But you're not going to get killed. That hasn't started yet. As far as I know, that's not a real thing. So. That's what I say. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go to another news story. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. We have calls already. So we're gonna start that. We're going first to Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Slattery. Thanks for taking my call. I didn't realize we had I didn't realize we had categories. Wait, can I have Jews who start world wars for 300?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. She looks like Jabba the Hutt.
You asked for a category. You asked for a category.
Okay, go ahead. Give me
Jews who start World War III for 300. She started her career at the State Department as a diplomat to the first U.S. mission to Mongolia.
Who is Victoria Nuland?
Very good, very good, Victoria Nuland. You control the board, sir.
All right, let me move on. Hey, listen, the other day you were talking about, I was with Jeremy, about Nigeria. People from Nigeria, they're called Nigerians. And then you would say, well, if somebody's from Niger, or you say in French, Niger, right? What do you call them? I don't know, whatever. Is that a joke? But guess what? I saw today on RT, people from Nigeria are Nigerians, and people from Niger are Nigerians, I-E-N-S. How do you like that?
Yes, I know. I've seen that, and it's even more confusing. So
it's more ridiculous,
right? Saying Niger people, you can say Niger people, or maybe think of something fun.
Maybe Nigerites, or I don't know. There's the N word, obviously the obvious joke. We don't want to go there. But so I wanted to say the other thing is that. Now, I'm actually looking forward to what seems to be developing. I wanted to get your feedback on what do you think is going to happen over there in Niger? It seems like Mali and Burkina Faso are developing their own little clique. I mean, it seems like all throughout the world, the whole BRICS sort of people are united. And I don't know, it still looks like a very positive development.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The European and American involvement in Africa has brought nothing good, at least not to the native countries. You could say, oh, well, they have resources, you know, uranium. Uranium's not that rare. And, okay, so you get some uranium. And here's one thing, like, unlike oil, and I'm anti-nuclear myself, but unlike oil, if you suddenly had a stop in Niger's uranium trade, you're not going to get a shutdown of the nuclear power industry. Nuclear power, like nuclear fuel, the trade in it is not nearly as voluminous. It's not as dependent on being sourced endlessly. I don't know. I'm not explaining that very well. But there's just not – we don't get that much that's very important from Africa. It really wasn't that important in the development of the modern world. And we're just not losing that much. And when you consider the trouble that Europe, in particular France, look at France, it's overrun by people from its former colonies. And just a month ago,
right,
seeing all these massive riots in Paris, not just in Paris, but all over France. So the best thing for America and for Europe would be to have all the countries in Africa fall under Russian and Chinese influence. That would be absolute. If you care about what happens to Americans or Europeans, that would be the best thing. Because there's
right,
whatever we get out of it is not nearly anywhere close to worth the trouble.
Yeah. You know, it's a good point. I wanted to say also, the other night I saw, I just flashed by me, the dreadful Sean Hannity. Do you want me to hold
on? Okay, just hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey, so one of those ads was for, pasture-raised chickens, and I saw something today. It made me think, if God didn't want people to eat animals, why did he make them out of meat? I don't know. I just thought I'd ask. All right, so you're still with me, Joe.
I'm sorry. I was distracted. I was busy printing my 3D underground bunker.
All right, good. That's something. That's something that can be done. It can be done. We can help you with that if you want.
To print it, you know, and it's not just printing it up, but it's an underground bunker too. I find that amazing. no, what I was saying before the break there was. So the odious Sean Hannity, I happened to catch him the other night, and he's using this phrase. He's saying, oh, the axis of evil, or he referred to the three countries that are dangerous, Russia, China, and Iran. And I thought, now this is very interesting how they're looping them together. It's clear that they're failing in their war against Russia, a Jewish war against Russia in Ukraine, right? China seems like even they are kind of, I mean, I don't know. They're still trying to gin it up. But it seems to me that they can always count on the satanic Jewish terrorist state of Israel to try and start something with Iran. What do you think the danger is that as we're being distracted by the Russia stuff and the China stuff, that Israel does actually ignite something against Iran? And of course, the U.S. has got to go and support Israel. What do you think? To me, I'm getting very concerned about that.
Yeah, it's the type of thing that could have happened, and it's the type of thing that might happen. Although, honestly, right now, I think things are kind of precarious now in Israel. Maybe they've settled down a little bit over the past couple of weeks. I'm too busy to even follow it, but you know they've been having their constitutional crisis with Netanyahu trying to do the judicial reform, and that country is so divided. So the question is, if Netanyahu wanted to rally people around the flag, which I suppose you know people do that type of thing, leaders do that type of thing. Would he do it with, like, the Iranian, like, a war with Iran? I don't know if that's something that he would want to do right now. That's not exactly a rally around the flag type of thing. Maybe a rally around the flag type of thing would be, more target practice in Gaza, which they do all the time, or something in Lebanon, Syria. Would they go that far? And, you know, I'm not even paying attention to that part of the world that much anymore because so much is going on elsewhere. But that's my gut feeling is that this isn't the time. Like, once he gets his judicial reform or whatever, once that's settled down, maybe. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell. Of course, if they plan it, but they could be so reckless that they back into it also. I mean, or maybe the serious thing. The other thing I was thinking about was, see what you think about it. I heard somebody actually explain this there. We're talking about factions of Jews right now. It's been revealed, right, that there is a split, really, so that we have the what do you call them? The ones that are really interested in Israel's interests, right, that are actually even willing to sort of align a little bit with Russia, apparently, or be supportive of Russia. And then you have really basically the crazy American crowd that are still clinging on to this this so-called war in Ukraine. I mean, it's really a war against Russia. So somebody was saying the theory is that that division is really the factions of Jews that are saying, well, let's stick with Ukraine and still, go full bore on that, where other Jews are saying, well, you know, obviously we're failing, we're losing it, you know, maybe Jeffrey Sachs crew or whatever. And that's really what that debate is about, even in Israel, that faction is fighting with the other faction. I don't know. What do you think about that?
There's something to that. I think Israelis in general see Jewish interests from their Israeli perspective, and so Iran is a bigger target. And within the United States, there are people, I mean, lots of people lots of Jews in the United States they have their family roots in the Soviet Union or the Russian Empire. And a lot of them have a very big chip on their shoulder. Obviously, a lot of Jews in Israel do, too. But for whatever reason, seem to have less of a chip on their shoulder. I don't know. They're much closer to, I mean, Israel's close to Russia geographically. We'll finish this up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Those are the smooth sounds of Radio Pyongyang. Hey, I was over there not too long ago, and North Korea is now doing talk radio. Can you believe that? All right. But anyway, Joe, I do think that there are, in the United States, there are some Jews who are more Israel-centric, but a lot who are more less Israel-centric, and I have brought up Victoria Nuland and Wendy Sherman and Tony Blinken as examples of those who are more focused on Russia. They have a resentment towards Russia, and Wendy Sherman's retired, but Blinken and Nuland. The thing is, I think they're more centered on Russia, but there might be some other division that's arising between Jews who were gung-ho on this Russia stuff but have woken up and smelled the coffee and know that they're losing, and then you got Victoria Nuland and Tony Blinken, and they've got so much at stake in this personally that they can't back out. And I think it's extremely dangerous. You've got these two people, and they've got so much invested in this personally. Why do we have these crazy people running our foreign policy? Why do we have Alejandro Mayorkas, who was a board member for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society? Why is he managing our border? Why do we have this vicious Merrick Garland sending in the FBI and vaporizing, old men who boomer post?
Yeah, and Garfinkel. And now we see yesterday that they were one of the ways they were trying to dismiss the whole anti-Catholic nature of Garland's attacks against domestic terrorist Catholics, right, traditional Catholics, is it wasn't just that one office. It's multiple offices that were sharing. Let's find out where the people who go to Latin Mass are in this FBI office, and let's trail them. Right? They're a real threat.
You're kind of fading in and out. I'm not sure why.
Oh, can you hear me better now? Let me move out of the way. Is this better? Worse?
And
it's better.
We're going to have to move on to the next caller anyway.
I appreciate it. Let me just say one last thing. Later this month, at some point, Dr. E. Michael Jones' book, The Holocaust Narrative, is going to be available.
Right.
Look for it, and
also
I'm sorry, try to get him on your show.
I didn't hear that. All right. Let's go.
Okay,
let's go on. Thank you for calling, Joe, and I'm sorry about the technical issues. Let's go on to George from Greece. George, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Dr. Slattery.
Good afternoon.
Okay, at this point, I think you guys should declare the United States a de facto Jewish dictatorship.
Yes.
Okay, the Jews are at the helm of foreign affairs. Okay, Blinken and Nuland, and for domestic affairs and policy, this guy Garland just appointed a guy, another Jew named Weiss, as head for the Hunter Biden case, special counsel. I think we should, you know, pretty safely, you know, declare the United States a Jewish dictatorship at this point.
Yeah. Hey, George, I've been saying that for at least 10 years. It's a Jewish dictatorship, and it's so clear now.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's becoming clearer now is the dictatorial nature of it. I mean, Jews have been pretty much in charge. I mean, since when? It's hard to pinpoint since when, but you can look at even the Clinton administration in the 1990s, and you had such massive Jewish overrepresentation in these same important departments.
Yes.
But the United States has become far more dictatorial. Even if it's been this Jewish in its leadership for a while, it's become far more dictatorial.
I believe so. And You have this strawman, this dead puppet, you know, Bernie, at the head of the state, like Joe Biden. I'm talking about, you know, weekend at Bernie's and everything. So, I was listening to a press conference given by Shoigu yesterday, talking about the concentration of the newest concentration of NATO troops alongside Europe's eastern border, bordering Russia, and he was talking about something like 360,000 troops, boots on the ground, something about 650 fighter jets, 6,000 artillery pieces, and something around 600 tanks amassed out on the southern border of on the eastern border of Europe, right next to Russia. And one has to wonder if all of this is going to, you know, is going to be used in a form of escalation against Russia. And my thoughts are going to be like,
I want a clarification. So these tanks and troops that Shoigu's talking about, these are from NATO countries? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So it's going to be the next phase of these of this so-called Ukraine war, where NATO is going to be directly involved in the conflict. And I was thinking about, there's going to be, you know, we're going to be looking at the actual degradation of NATO resources, of the core of the NATO army being degraded by, being destroyed by Russia at this point. I'm pretty sure that Russia is pretty ready, pretty damn well prepared for this event. A future NATO escalation, and I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about the reaction of the people within Europe and the United States throughout this operation and after the completion of this kind of operation. I think we're going to be looking at some kind of social chaos inside Europe and the United States. At that point, the Jews are going to be blamed real bad. And
I have a question.
Yes.
So in the United States, boomers are more willing to get shot by the FBI than to name the Jew. I mean I don't mean to turn this guy into some sort of joke or meme or anything, but I think that's kind of how it is in the United States. But Europe does have a different history, and Do you think that people in some of the European countries are more willing to specifically point the finger at Jews when they do things?
Right now, I think not. But with the trend that things are turning, I think that a lot of the truth is going to surface. It's going to come up to the surface, and people are going to be, a little bit more learned regarding these things. The core myth of Jewish power is, of course, the Holocaust, and I've been listening to a bunch of talk shows from mainstream pundits within the United States where topics like the Holocaust and the veracity of this event are beginning to being talked out in the open, and I think there's going to come the society in general is going to come to a point where people are going to be talking openly, not officially, but openly, about the veracity of the core myth of Jewish power, which is the Holocaust. And when this happens, it's going to be a watershed event where, things are going to, start to accelerate, not in favor of the Jews, not in favor of them. I mean, if you remember, I talked about Israel the other day. These guys down there are desperate. These guys down there are desperate. The right-wing government is pretty, positive that, the diaspora is all but doomed. And they're looking to turn to Eurasia. For a geopolitical orientation and stuff. So this whole judicial reform thing, I think it's a masquerade. Behind it, it's the will of the right wing conservative Netanyahu government to turn Israel towards Eurasia and Russia. And the diaspora and liberal Jews within the United States don't like that. They want things to be business as usual. So that's why we're having all this turmoil down in Israel. I think Israel is a canary in the coal mine when it comes to Jewish matters. And it's very indicative of what's going to be happening within the United States itself. In the near future, things are not going very good for our friends.
Mm. Things are tough all over. It's a disaster in Europe. America is just such a joke now, and it's so clearly a joke. And then, of course, we haven't been talking too much about the West Africa, a general war in West Africa. What would that mean for the world? You'd have massive refugees going all over the place.
Africa has been, in a sort of a dialogue with the Russian element from the time of the Soviet Union, right after
right.
Stalin's death. The turning of the Soviets to the Third World included Africa inside this dialogue, and things, have been moving underground for many, many years. Alexander Dugin has been, working silently with the Pan-African movement for at least 15 or 20 years now. So there's this intellectual substrate that lies underneath this whole movement right now in Africa. And I'm pretty sure that although Nigeria and Benin and Senegal, use this anti-Russia, anti-Niger rhetoric right now. Underneath the hardcore, the grassroots people, the people of these countries are totally Pan-African, and they're going to side with Russia any time of the week against, you know, the rest of the West. I don't think Africa is going to turn out too good for the West, the so-called West, in the near future. I mean, the people are ready to, you know, rise up against Western hegemony. It's not just Niger or, you know, Guinea or Algeria that's you know, raising their heads right now. It's all of Western Africa.
Right. Well, hey, George, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. I got a couple more callers to go to.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, and next we've got Jay in L.A. Jay, welcome to the show. Hello? Are you there, Jay? Okay, until we get Jay worked out, we'll move forward to Charlie from Florida. Charlie, welcome to the show. Okay, we're going back to Jay.
Hey, Patrick, sorry I lost you.
No problem.
Most of the other callers just touched on a lot of what I was going to ask you. You, one of the remaining things was you always talk about that you disagree that there's some sort of central cabal of Jewish power, Jewish thought. And I was wondering, do you think it really falls into two categories, kind of the religious ones and the non-religious ones, the ones that are centered around Israel, that see the United States kind of as their new homeland? And like attached to that question is, where do you think this is all going to play out? It just seems like they're lighting fires all over the world, and it's like, I don't know how they think this is going to end. They're destroying this place. Are they just going to float up on some cloud and watch it all burn? Like, how do you think they intend to play this all out? Where they're going to rule over everybody from? And I guess if that's their plan, what do you think is going to end up happening? If you could just kind of touch on those 3 points.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And maybe it's my connection. You were fading out, in and out a little bit, but I think I got the gist of your question. And, you know, when you look at an entity like Jews, Jewish power, there are a few different ways you can categorize it. You know, you can look at religious Jews versus non-religious Jews. But if you're looking earlier in the show, we were talking about Jews who are more oriented towards Israel versus Jews who are, you know, more oriented towards the interests of the diaspora. And that's kind of the way I've often categorized it. You know, because people will talk about, you know, Jews, they're not loyal to America, they're loyal to Israel. But as long as America is controlled by Jews, a lot of diaspora Jews are more interested in the American state power because it's in their hands. And whether or not they're religious, I mean, I guess religious Jews, in my experience, religious Jews do tend to be oriented towards Israel, although there's a sect that's not, you know, that, so there may be a lot of overlap that way with, the more religious Jews, being more interested in Israel. But, you know, there's a lot of secular Jews in Israel, secular nationalist Jews. Where is it playing out? I mean, I think the way it's playing out is that Jewish power in the United States in particular, but around the world, but in the United States in particular, they've really been overplaying their hand since 2014, 2015. Donald Trump, in order to nullify the MAGA movement and whatnot, and the restrictions on immigration that Trump wanted to pursue, they engaged in much more blatant and open policies. And so, you know, they ramped it up, it's more obvious who's doing what, and that's a high-risk strategy for them. And, you know, maybe they'll come out on top, but it looks like I think they're in a very vulnerable position. And if George is correct that, like, Europeans are going to start pointing their fingers at them, and I think in America we have had blacks talk about Jewish power, like black celebrities, and then you're having, you know, not celebrities, but you're having non-mainstream people getting better and better at talking about Jewish power. So I think they're in a very, and you've got these enormous hoaxes that they've gone through, you know, with the insane COVID policies and the white hatred, and now, and maybe those, you know, they've been able to get away with. I don't see how you can get away with losing a giant war. So that's that. So I'll kick it back to you, Jay.
The last question I would ask is, how are you so sure that Putin is not part of this plan, that this isn't just theater to wipe out the last two remaining Christian countries? Because there's arguments for both sides. You know, he's standing up against them, but he also has the Kabbalah bracelet. He's tied to, I mean, he didn't push back on the vaccines as much, although some people say they weren't mRNA. I mean, there's really no, like, definitive answer whether he's a good guy or bad guy. So I was wondering if he the only kind of hope that you have to push back on the Jewish power as a whole?
No, but he's been around, you know, we've been watching him closely for 24 years now. He's been in power for 24 years. I think he's got a track record. COVID, you know, people who think that there's no such thing as COVID or that everything about COVID was planned in advance, they might have that type of thing. Oh, well, anybody who went along with COVID is part of it. Anyone who went along with vaccines or whatnot. But I think there was a coronavirus that wasn't worth all of this trouble, wasn't worth all of this bother, but new viruses come along all the time. And I think a lot of people got freaked out to an extent, and almost every government had policies, almost all of them, not Belarus. Even Belarus might have had minor ones, but I mean, the policies in Russia were less than those in other countries. And people in Russia, they're old people, they're fat people, and they're vulnerable people, and I don't know. But I think a lot of people, people who listen to RBN are much more dismissive of the fears that a lot of people actually had. So I don't know. I know that's
but
not.
But he's not. Why doesn't somebody just say, look, you know, if China, India, and Russia said, hey, let's expose Zionism right now. Let's tell everybody what's going on. Let's break down Bolshevik revolution. Let's break down Soviet takeover. Let's break down the overthrow of Ukraine. Nobody is exposing this. This is what makes me feel like we're not seeing any truth, because it would be easy to expose this.
So, but the thing is, Zionist/Jewish power is in control of the United States and Europe. And so if they go, I don't, you know, I think the Russians understand it a lot better than the Chinese. But if they go full out and start talking specifically about Jewish power, does that become World War III? Right?
True.
So that's that. But I appreciate your call. I've all of a sudden got a bunch of callers. But thank you for calling. Okay, next we've got Charlie in Florida.
Dr. Slattery. Real quick, I've seen those pictures of Putin supposedly wearing that Kabbalah bracelet and everything, and there's a bunch of them out there, and if you blow those pictures up, they're all photoshopped. You can see the outline, the edges, you know, it's all cool. But anyway, that's just an aside, okay? The reason I'm calling is I know you listen to Mercurius on over at the Duran once in a while, and he's saying that the ECOWAS is agreeing to intervene into Niger, which means that it's going to widen the war, you know, if they do, that Putin or, you know, Russia may intervene down in there. Well, and the other caller who called him was talking about what's going on up at the NATO border up there. I think what they're planning is they are planning World War III. I think this is the Biden administration, NATO, you know, Newland, all of them. And I think that's the only way they're going to be able to keep Biden in office, right? Because wartime presidents have a tendency to always get reelected. There's a guy named Armstrong, I believe it's Martin Armstrong, Marvin Martin, I believe, Martin Armstrong. And he was saying, he does predictions and things, and he says that he believes that they're going to use they're going to widen the war over there towards the end, so that it fits into 2024, so that the Biden administration can stay in. And
okay.
That's it. And so we're looking at World War III.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And sorry to the callers we didn't get to. Better luck next time. And I'll be back in next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.